Hold someone beside you. Let's say it together. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive information that is found in the knowledge of the Son concerning Holy Ghost meetings. We learn this day by precept and by example. There's no confusion. There's accuracy and precision. The things that ought to be said will be said. The things that ought to be done will be done. We behold Him as He sees us in Him. He is glorified. We are edified. Amen. Matthew 28. We're looking at Holy Ghost meetings by precept and by example. By precept and by example. Matthew 28. And we said, it must be taught. Matthew 28. All authority, verse 18, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, or make disciples of all nations, or make students of all nations. Then he says, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always until the end of the age. Now, that means there is a training to the things of the kingdom of God. Now, I said it in the first service, I'm saying it again, that the idea of Bible school that we have today, where people come and they learn like students, they take notes, right? And then they learn like students. Sometimes they are even tested on what they learn. And I told you that you won't find that outside regular church meetings in the scriptures. And whatever dichotomy we have today, whatever distinction, so that I'm not a Bible school person, you know, I'm just a Christian, I just love the Lord, I have my own work. That's a very wrong idea. The local church ought to be where we learn the word like students. Say, I am a student of the word. Just a few people seem to have said that. Say, I am a student of the word. Say it again, I am a student of the word. So say, church is classroom. Say that like you mean. Say, church is classroom. So we learn here by precept and by example. We learn by teaching. And so in Matthew's Gospel 28, it says, teaching them to observe. And the word there is didasco, to instruct and command and give explanations to observe all things wherever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so we said there are different kinds of meetings that the church should have. The first thing is, there is the local church where we gather like this, depending on which of the days, somehow by custom, we have chosen Sundays. Some other people can choose Mondays. Doesn't mean that they are not born again. Hallelujah. You know, it's just a custom. Right? If you're in some Muslim nations, it's very likely that your own public holidays will be Friday. So it's very like, I know some churches, for example, and I have friends there who pastor there, some countries, and they meet on Fridays. Sundays are work days. All right, so, but irrespective of the day of meeting, people come together. You see, the idea of not coming together with believers is not just antichrist, it's silly. Because you cannot identify with the head of the church and refuse to identify with the body. The body is identified in the meetings. In Acts 1, verse 14 to 15, the Bible teaches that the church will come together in a place. They'll gather. And they continue steadfastly in prayer and supplication. They were in one accord. They came together. In Acts 2, 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place. Don't say one place. In one accord. So where are you getting the examples from? They met. And in verse 42, Acts 2, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, pay attention. And he says, in breaking of bread, prayers, and fellowship. That's contribution. Contribution. The body of Christ says fellowship. That's why you don't come to church and you just come in through the door and run out after the service. No, you must demonstrate fellowship. And one of the ways to demonstrate fellowship is to show that you and the people here, you have the same Father. For example, the way you greet people. The way you do it. You greet people properly. Paul says to greet the brethren with an holy kiss. You know what that means? Alright, it's not mouth to mouth. Today's day. It means affectionate greeting. A brotherly greeting. Something that you do to a family member. The kind of greeting you give a family member. Not, hello, hi. No, you don't do that. You greet properly. You greet well the church. So there's that place of fellowship. Okay? And so we have different kinds of meetings, we said. We have the teaching meetings, which are the primary meetings. So the teaching meetings. Then we also have the prayer meetings. The prayer meetings emerge from the teaching meetings, where we come to pray. The prayer meetings. Was Wednesday I shared with you a vigil I attended? That I attended a vigil when I was on campus and people came with mattresses. Was it here? Was Wednesday? Was Sunday? Was it Sunday, Jesus? Oh, okay. That was Wednesday. They came with mattresses. Too bad. Some will want to do prayer meetings, and before the prayer meeting, they will first of all teach for 40 minutes. Then they will sing. Then they will pray somehow, sandwich it. Then they will sing again. That is a multi-dimensional meeting. Coat of many colors. A prayer meeting, you pray. You pray. That's all you do. You have what you pray for. In Acts 4:23, the Bible says, and 24, they lifted up their voice in one accord and prayed. In verse 31, it says, the place where they prayed was shaken. That means what they did was that they prayed. So we have those kind of meetings. Teaching meetings, the primary services. Then we have prayer meetings. A young pastor, younger than me, I'm young too. He said, what do I do? I said, nothing. Church. You teach, you pray. If those things are done, then what you have is a local church. You teach, you pray. So any other thing that we can use? I said, I don't use things. I don't use. So, I was talking to some pastor friends yesterday. Now, I've been on social media for over 10 years now, and I put out the word from the days when we used to write in short form, because before they expanded it. So I'll write every day. I maintained it. At least I tried 75%. 10 years. I always put something out every day. And then I noticed something. Interestingly. That the things I write that gather the largest traffic are usually non-doctrinal things. I'll tell you one that's very funny. I saw something on a friend's wall about cesarean section. And it was very funny. So I thought, well, this is interesting. And I put it on my page. Then Facebook deleted it, that it had spam. Oh, so I said, oh, no problem. I wasn't really, it was just funny. Because the guy said, someone said, I can't see cesarean section in the Bible. I reject it in Jesus. It's not my portion. Then he now said, well, neither can you find phones. Anyway, refrigerators and stuff like that. So it was quite a funny stuff, So Facebook deleted it, didn't I? But unknown to me, it was now on my Twitter. Because I linked both. As of this morning, over 2,000 retweets. Including atheists. Now, I had something else again. I got, in fact, the guy who put it on his wall had less than 5 likes. I want to show you something, you know. It's not really, I want you to think about what I'm about to say. Then, I also observed, now another one, on medical doctors, health professionals. I saw it on a friend's page, was my classmate in school. He didn't even have a like. As at this morning, about 2,000 shares. No Jesus, no stress on context, pretext. Now, also over the years, except on a very few rare occasions, the moment I write marriage, romance, AXA County. Particularly when the post is short and brief. I can tell you, within 2 days, I'll tell you the traffic. So I told some pastors, I said, do you know, that shows you something. That if I really want to just attract people, I say, the Lord's giving me a strategy. No, it's not a strategy. That's just what people want. You cannot build the ministry on what people want. If I start sharing on business, more people will come. I know. So, the fact that we don't say those things, we don't do those things, doesn't mean we don't know how to do them. Hallelujah. But just like Paul, we are determined not to project any other thing but Christ and Him crucified. But look at that. That would have been, you know, there was a fellow like that. He writes a lot on politics and business. So he came into my inbox to ask me for advice. So when I gave him advice, I said, you seem to know this thing very well. I said, what do you think about it? You think I just write pretext, context? That's not the little I read, though. He said, well, you don't even talk about it. As a pastor, no. That will be an abuse of office. But I could do it. I like that your pastor is practical. Practical. It's not into just be sharing word. No, we want the word to become flesh. I've heard that before. No. No matter how long it takes us, we're still on the same path. Praise the Lord. You follow what I'm saying? Alright. Someone read a book for this course. He said he had never read Bible truth, marriage and relationship that way before. And he's an old-time minister. We could have used that as do for these course conferences around the nations. No. Hallelujah. So I told the young man, I said, when you start a church, focus on teaching and prayer for believers, for unbelievers, evangelists. Say, is there any strategy? Jesus didn't give you. Paul didn't give us. Now, doesn't mean that you also go and meet in Solomon's temple. No. But I'm saying, your message and your method must be the same. Hallelujah. So there are different kinds of meetings, alright? There's the teaching meetings, which lead to the prayer meetings. A local church is a prayer house. We pray. In Mark's Gospel 11:17, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer or petition for every nation or to all nations. And that's what the church is. And it's so foreign to have prayer department in the church. Because prayer is for every member of the church. The instructions to pray is for everybody. And you go look your Bible well. Acts 2:42, I quoted that earlier. Acts 3:1, Peter and John went to pray. Just obviously they went to church to pray. Acts 4:23, the whole church prayed. Acts 12:5, when Peter was taken up, the Bible says the whole church made continuous supplication to the Lord. So prayer is every believer's devotion in the church. And that must be adhered to strictly. So we have prayer meetings and we have evangelistic meetings. In evangelistic meetings, we go to preach to the unsaved. And in the middle of that, we also go to heal the sick. Alright, so we have different kinds of meetings. We have the healing services, evangelistic services. Luke 5:17, Jesus was teaching, the power of the Lord was present to heal, as a healing service. Then we also have what you call, or what Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, calls, now he's not the one, he didn't write the Bible, but I'm just saying that's the way he explained it. The Holy Ghost meeting. Now, old-timers call it inspirational meetings, old-timers. But he calls it the Holy Ghost meetings. And I learned to flow with the Spirit of God from Kenneth Hagin. So that's why his terminologies are the ones I use. Because that's where I learned it from. And it's a kind of meeting that believers will come together. I've explained this every service of this series. And they come to such a way, in such a way that everyone participates. Just like prayer meetings, everybody participates. But this one, we now minister. For example, in this kind of meeting, all the believers have the responsibility to minister. Now, as I'm teaching now, you are listening. I'm the one ministering, you are the one receiving. But in a believers meeting, there will be a time I will have to keep short and you will do the speaking. Now I'm not talking about AGM. You know, some churches do AGM. Everybody will now get up and say, they call, in fact, I know places where they call that believers meeting. Everybody will say their mind. A friend of mine told me years ago, 2007, I think, a senior friend. He said, he pastors that church, he's a branch pastor. So he said they had this AGM. And one of the questions they asked him, sorry, I have a question. What was the question? The five alive pastor takes after the church, what is it for? That's his mind. You know, that's interesting. That's not a believer's meeting. That's a shareholder's summit. Alright. In a believer's meeting, 1 Corinthians 14:26. And let me add this. You know, just as I was going out of the second service, the Lord reminded me something. I was going out there. And you need to also remind me all the time what I'm about to tell you, okay? Because sometimes, don't assume pastors can forget. I tell our leaders, always ensure that I don't forget instructions God gave us. As I was going there, I was walking away, and then I tapped somebody. The Lord reminded me something Kenneth Hagin said in 1981. That oftentimes, when people bring in structure into churches, the Holy Ghost disappears. That do not put structure first. The Lord just reminded me here today. As I was just, if I could tell you the spot, I was right here. Well, he reminded me, do not put structure first. And that says a lot about, sometimes we get so logical, right? We get so organized, you understand? And then we might not be given room for the Spirit of God. Even in our lives. We've been teaching that on Wednesdays, right? Adventures in prayer. So that you give room for the leading of the Spirit. And that's why every year we ensure that we have Charis Camp meetings, believers' conventions, which deal a lot around the gifts of the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, and other meetings like that we do then during the year. To just keep the, as they say, the balance together. The Word, the Holy Ghost. The Word, the Holy Ghost. The Word, the Holy Ghost. Primarily we teach the Word. Primarily. They allow the flow of the Holy Ghost. So he says, do not put structure over the leading of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that also applies to our lives. Don't get everything so figured out. Alright? Get my point? Don't get everything so figured out. There's a place of the Holy Ghost. That is, if you build a church and a ministry, ensure you give the room. Just create that room for the Holy Ghost. Like we do when as an entrepreneur, It's always said that if you start a company, for example, and then you have your shareholders, 100%, leave a percentage. It's just for a foreseen or an unforeseen for now investor who might want to come in. And he doesn't want to borrow you, lend you money. He wants to be part of the team. So you give the room so that somebody can join in. Now I've learned that long business. If you're the chairman, managing director of your corner shop, you better be a board member of a big deal. The man who taught me business told me something I'll never forget. He said, because he was an international broker, and there was a year by brokerage, he made $60 million. You know what a broker is? A broker is somebody who just hears the information. He puts his hands on the ground. He knows who has what. Then he links them together. He made $60 million. So, oh, this is not a business seminar, but I'm just... So, he said, Shago, would you rather have 100% of nothing than 1% of something? I said, that makes sense. It's my deal, Take it now. It's your deal, you don't have money to do it. Take it. Keep it. It will remain your dreams. So you know, you're bringing people. You have 100% of nothing, or 1% of 100 things. I said that to Satan. You give that room for the Holy Ghost. For the move of the Holy Ghost. For the leading of the Spirit. Don't get things so planned out. And that's why you check us. We'd never set goals as a ministry. Never. Not that we are dull, but we never set goals. We just say, well, this is what the Lord wants us to do at this time. We don't say, what's your 50-year plan? 50. No, we just follow God's lead. And so we don't have projects that we have to do except we want to push the word of God out. And sometimes we get to know the nations we will reach by prayer. That's how we get to know the nation, by prayer. Last week, somebody prophesied about, was it Tanzania? Right? So I got to the pastor's meeting on Sundays. We have it every Sunday. I asked him, I said, someone talk about Tanzania, right? Was it here on Sunday? Second service? And he asked. Then pastor gave us an information from Tanzania. We said, well, we need to get involved in Tanzania. Because God spoke to us. That's how we function. All right? Because we're flexible, leading of the Spirit. That's how we want it. Amen. So there must be that room for the Holy Ghost. And so that's why we have things like the Holy Ghost meeting, where we do, as it were, what teaching meetings might not do as quickly. Right? There are some things that can happen like that. Boom. You can't grow on it or build on it, but in the inspirational sense, in the immediate, it resolves some things quickly when you come together. Now, you can't have that every Sunday, right? But room is given for it to happen. And so, in such meetings, look at 1 Corinthians 14. When you come together, I will give them brethren. When you come together, 1 Corinthians 14, every one of you has what? A sound, then a doctrine, then a tongue, then a revelation, then what? An interpretation. Let all things, or all these things, be done unto what? Edifying. Let all these things be done unto edifying. Now, notice the operative word. Each one of you. Every one of you. Hallelujah. So, is it possible for every believer to have the same things to minister with? Right? Every believer? Right? Come on. Did that happen in Acts 2? Huh? Was there anybody in Acts 2 playing the keyboard? Sorry for guys, just my illustration for the now. Was there anybody in Acts 2 who was watching? You know, some guys are real watchers. No. Who are you? Sharma? Jehovah Sharma, right? You watch it. The eyes of the Lord runs to and fro the Holy Ghost, seeking who he may laugh at. The Lord is not God. Hallelujah. He's watching. No. Every one of you. You know, last week we said, how did Saul, the king, prophesy? He went, remember, to the company of the prophets. He saw what they were doing, and he did what? He did the same. Now, in the first service, we looked at that again. And I used an illustration. Now, I'm not coming to you again. I said, if you come into a service and everybody is praising the Lord, you simply what? Do what they do. Everybody is praying. You do what they do. But now, because you are used to that, you are used to prayer. Oh yes. You can pray. There are some prayer meetings that can be funny. I remember one time, we were having a prayer meeting somewhere. So I joined in. So I asked someone, I said, what are you praying about? He said, I don't know. You don't know? Don't I pray about? No, you should find out what you're praying about. But the truth is, when you come into a prayer meeting, because you are used to prayer meetings, and everybody is praying, it's like you just do like this. If you come for a teaching service, and everybody is listening to the word, you just bring out your Bible, even though you are drawing Mickey Mouse on the notes. It's fine. If you come and people are praising the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You just lift your hands and you pray. But many times, you'll find someone coming, then you see people, no drums, no music, nobody saying anything, and they're going, woo! Power to Jesus! You're not used to it, you go. You know, in 1996, in one of our meetings in Ikorodu, a church, I don't want to mention the church name, but they usually use the hall after we do. We did. And so we had Holy Ghost meetings. We called it Manifesting of the Spirit. So I taught it for about, I think about 3 months, every day. I mean, two times a week, 3 months. One interesting part was, initially, they will use the hall the next day, sometimes the same day. And so they will come in after we had the Holy Ghost meeting, and they will sanctify the building. I'm saying they will literally bring in bottles of oil, go here now, and they point out, Father, every spirit that was released here yesterday, and they were anointed. I don't want to mention the church. So every week, they were pouring oil on what we did. Every week, we pour oil. Because for them, how could people just come together and be shouting? No music playing, no comedian making them laugh. They're laughing. In fact, one of our sisters told me that one of the leaders came one time and told her, people do deliverance a lot. Because they wonder, why people screaming, woo! Sorry! It has to be delivered. And of course, you come in there, you see beautiful sisters. Amen. Shandai. I don't know about the brothers, but the sisters. And their hair long. Some of them are yellow. Just like you, you go for deliverance. Small deliverance. You are so black, it's deliverance case. Come on. Pastor Jakes, you have to go for deliverance. Long hair. Long hair is marine spirit. And some of you study marine engineering, you can't even detect marine spirit. Marine spirit. When you are yellow, that's Asmodeus. That's yellow. Don't be yellow. Okay? So they thought it. They thought so for a while, they will pour oil. They were sanctifying the place. Or the spirits will release in deliverance. Now, don't laugh. In the first service, I gave you the illustration of Usofia in London. See how he behaved in the movie. When came home, Nigerian actor, the way he behaved. He behaved like, so what is this? You even laugh. I said, this is too much. Now, can a human being behave like this? Now, bring that into the things of the Spirit. Where a man does not know, he will say the wrong thing. Look at the day of Pentecost. Some folks came around and said, these guys must be drunk with new wine. And new wine actually is intoxicating. Ah, what's happened? It's like saying, it's like coming to church, a church service. That means somebody can come for a church service because of what he doesn't know. He say they drank palm wine. What's going on? You know, you can actually come into the service and stay at the door. I say, why are you out? Nothing. I'm just not used to. He thinks he's the spiritual person. He says, I'm not just used to. So what's that? No. Just, I've been a Christian. The revival of 1960, I was there. He thinks he's informed. I said, there's arrogance in ignorance. You know, in Romans 14, Paul talked about those people who ate only herbs. I don't eat that. You know, you think the guy is very spiritual. Taste not, touch not. Say, no, I don't. See, that doesn't wear a ringo at all. Even though the O's are there, but she doesn't wear it. No makeup. Say, why have you not left yourself the way the Lord made you? Your problem is fashion sense. Because you also are not the way the Lord made you. That rubber didn't come from God. You know rubber? You ever say, they don't use the rubber to do the hair. They still do it. Some guys say they ate gold. Don't wear gold earring, but it's their wristwatch. Amen. Our God is good. You know? And you think the person that says, I don't use earring, I don't. In that person's face, that is spiritual. Paul says, receive him without disputation. He says, he is weak in faith. But that person looks like this. He says, no, I just eat herbs. The kind of Christianity that I have. But you are the weak person, really. Praise the Lord. You know, so you can find somebody because he doesn't know. He will see a Holy Ghost and say, a guy watched a Kenneth Hagin movie. He said, meeting. He said, what is this? This is manipulation. So why is it? He says, how can people gather like that? And the man is laughing and they are laughing. That's man. He said, it's even like evil spirit. Be careful. And I said, do you laugh? He said, yes. It's not evil spirit. No. Maybe you are the evil spirit. You laugh. Somebody once watched a Holy Ghost meeting and people were laughing. And he was laughing at their laughing. The joke is on him. Yeah, I see what he's saying. What is he saying? Hey. You see, he is the arrogant person in ignorance. Who's following what I'm saying right now? You get it? So, but you are laughing at the laughter. That means laughter is not a sin. No, it's not a sin. But why should we laugh in church? Hallelujah. So, oftentimes, you find that person who, because he's He's not learned. The first time, I went to a church in Ibadan, and they were praying with burdens. Reverend Kingsley Alfred was taking the service that day. And people were praying, oh, and they sang the song, oh God, as we pray. I was used to prayer, and we used to pray. I mean, that wasn't new. But that day, I had people groan. Ah. I just felt something was wrong with the person beside me. Ah.
He's just going to throw up on me.
Then they were moving. I now saw the pastor himself. Ah. But in my spirit, because I'm born again, my head couldn't get a hold of it. But right down in my spirit, this is of God. You know what I simply did? Told my friend were there, said, let's hold hands. We held hands, and I just touched one person, we prayed. That's how I started. Without even learning anything. Why? I simply plugged in by faith. Now I can explain it. Praise God. I have been explaining it. Praise the Lord. But by faith. So I didn't allow my head to rule my spirit. Paul says, when you speak in tongues, he said, your understanding, your mind, your intellect is unfruitful. 1 Corinthians 14:14. So you don't allow your head. So those guys who were on their Pentecost, some say we heard them speak the word of the works of God. Some say, this one's drunk. These guys must, they look crazy. They are drinking something. Praise the Lord. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 14. Hallelujah. Is tongues an interpretation of God? Huh? Speaking in tongues is it by the Spirit of God? Mark 16:17 is of God, right? Acts 2:1-4. Now, but we had people who heard it and felt the people were crazy. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 23. Are you there? And if all, the whole church will come together in one place, Okay, wait. They're coming what? Or the unbelievers. Will they not say that you are mad? Is it possible for people to see the Holy Spirit in demonstration and say the person is mad? Now, look at the category of people that can say it. First, the unlearned. In the Greek, it sounds like the word idiotis. I didn't plan to say it. It means you don't know. You were not cultured or taught this way. Interestingly, he groups that person with the unbeliever, the unsaved. The guy told me, he said, I can't imagine a church like that. Everybody's just jumping and shouting. I said, what, is there shouting? What you shout during praise worship? Yes, we do. Shout to the Lord of the everlasting. Power and majesty, praise to our King. They say mountains bow down. Where did you see that one? And the seas will roll. Say shout, give the Lord a joy. So that means there was no wrong in shouting. Why did you just be shouting? And there's no music playing. There should be tumba in the background. Tumba. No. So I had to show this fellow the Bible. She comes to you something. Go to Luke 10. I said, Jesus said in Luke 10, verse 17. They came back to Jesus, the 70 returned with joy, and they said, they said, Lord, the demons are subject to us through your name. Look at 18. Jesus answered and said, I beheld Satan as lightning Fall from where? Behold, verse 19, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Look at 20. Notwithstanding, and this rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So, now I'm going to say, how many times do we rejoice that our names are written? All the time. Do I need a praise worship leader to do this? No, I don't. Now, to explain what he meant by precept and by example, look at 21. In that hour, what happened? Jesus what? You know, if music was playing, they would say, Jesus rejoiced at the singing. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. I told you in the first service, there's a dance we have in the world. And there's nothing wrong in that. There's a dance we have in the world. And a dance will mean you are responding to music or beats or songs. And you just dance. And some people say, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon my heart. I will dance like this. I will dance. I will dance. Though the Spirit was not on David when he danced. So that song must be like a promise. No, he didn't. And you do those kind of things. You're not wrong in that, but that's not what Jesus just did. Hallelujah. Jesus rejoiced. The word there is agaleo. A-G-A-L-L-I-O or A-G-A-L-L-E-O in the Greek. It means to run, to leap up and down in an uncoordinated fashion. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to have someone do it. You, hey brother, come. Come. We're going to do it. We're going to look at it practically. All right? You come up. You preach for us by precept. What did I call a galley? To what? Leap. Up and down. Not just up quick. You can't stay up, right? Yeah. Come on. In reckless abandonment, without coordination. It's not. No. Alright? So, you get it? So you don't coordinate it. Hallelujah. And there's a run to it. Right? You run. So do that. Let's see. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Jesus did that. He said, whatever I see my Father do, whatever we saw Jesus do, the Father was working in him. Look at Zephaniah 3. You learning something? You don't rejoice sitting. I rejoice. No, you are singing. There's singing, there's rejoicing. So, look at Zephaniah 3. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3. And look at verse 17. Wow.
Can we read together? Let's go. Let's go.
The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Go on. He will sing. Is that a prophecy about Christ? Go on. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing. Woo! Woo! So when we are rejoicing, God giving expression through us, he will rejoice. These are prophecies about the New Testament. Psalm 126. He will rejoice. Praise the Lord. Why did Jesus rejoice? Because your names are written in heaven. Amen. Psalm 126. Verse 1. You there? Come on now. Let's take it together. When the Lord turned again the captives of Zion, who were like them that dream. Look at 2. Then was our mouth filled.
Oh, hold on. You know, you can laugh. Oh, but filled with laugh.
Filled with laugh. Filled with laugh. Filled with laugh. Filled with laugh. Come on, sit down. Praise God. Hallelujah.
You know, we can pray together. We can sing together. We can also laugh together.
You know, we agree in prayer. We agree in joy. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm in agreement with you. Enjoy. Joy. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Sit down, I have some things to say. Glory to God. He said, he filled our mouth with laughter. No, that's permanent. And our mouth, our tongue with what?
Singing.
Our tongue with what?
Singing.
Then they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things.
Glory.
So as we laugh, we should sing. So laugh and sing. Laugh and sing. Laugh and sing. Laugh and sing. Come on, laugh and sing. Laugh and sing. Woo-hoo! Laugh and sing. Laugh and sing. Come on, go ahead. Laugh and sing. Laugh and sing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, our spirit is a singing spirit. Because our God sings. He rejoices over us
with singing. That's why Paul will tell you, be full of the Holy Ghost singing. That means the Holy Ghost sings through us. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine when in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing. You can be full of the Spirit and not sing. 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 Say, my spirit is a singing spirit. Glory to God. Sing it. Melody in your heart. Come on, sing a bit more. Walking in me. Walking through me. The Spirit of the Lord makes a battle against the enemy. If I don't know, I got a day. He lives big in me, walks big in me. He ministers the right thoughts to me. I go, if I ever had a dose, if I ever get a tear, I go, if I ever I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of wisdom. Hallelujah. Go to Colossians 3:16. Learning something?
Yes,
you learning good?
Yes,
you learning good?
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah. Yes, praise God. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom. See that? Teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms, hymns, the spiritual song, singing with grace in your heart, Lord. Now watch this. That means we can come together and everybody, just like 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, we now sing a psalm for everyone. You see, singing in the church is not for entertainment. There are songs I like, they are for entertainment. That when I listen to them, it's just to this. I like some songs like that. They're just good songs. They are not necessarily sung by Christians. Some of them are Christians, some of them are not. You know. But you see, those are songs for entertainment. And there's nothing wrong in entertainment. You can watch news and watch sports. You can listen to songs that are not necessarily singing Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. However, as you listen to them, be watchful that their lyrics are not dirty. Or whatever scriptures teaches that we must not give attention to. Is that very clear? However, the songs we sing in the church, there are things we do in the world we don't do in the church. Paul said a couple of things like that. He said, don't you have houses where you can eat and drink? That thou mayest know how you ought to behave in the house of God. When Jesus chased those guys from the temple, he didn't say there was something wrong in merchandising. He said, but not the Father's house. Hallelujah. So there are things we don't do in the house. Because the house is for our spiritual benefit. Now, the kind of songs, the difference between, now you saw how those guys sang. You saw how they sang. That's how to edify the church. Not just, go and listen to one music and then check the beat, whether it's, there's nothing wrong in that, but you see, the way the church should be edified is when people by the Holy Ghost can give a song. By the Holy Ghost, they can give a song. They can give a song. See, you are not Jay-Z or Beyonce or DeBange. No. They have their role in the world and it's fine. But in the house of God, we allow the Holy Ghost to take over. We give room for the Spirit of God to demonstrate himself in singing. In singing. And Paul says, those things are done to edifying, not entertaining. So he says, teaching and admonishing. So we can come together and admonish one another in song. In a meeting, the brother will get up and sing. And sing. And sing. I've had times like that. You know, I remember one meeting I can't forget. It happened 1998, April. I was teaching. I was going to minister and lead a sister's name, Zamaka. So she just got up and sang a song, The River of God. I will never forget that day. She sang that song, just a few lines. It was a dramatic day. The kind of the glory of God in demonstration that day, I'd never seen it in that fashion. I've seen such, but the way it happened, I couldn't even teach again. Remember that day, Peter was teaching while he was yet speaking. The Holy Ghost fell. Sometimes the Holy Ghost can stop your sermon. Just like Peter's case. Hallelujah. Yeah, we need people like that who are born and trained in the place of prayer and the things of the Holy Ghost. Not those that before they sing, they will first go and listen to one secular music, secular artists, and then what they do on their stage or platform, they bring to church. No. That is substituting brass for gold. We have the real thing. I said we have the real thing. We have the real joy. We do not need a comedian to laugh. Laughter is a gift by the Spirit of God. It's a permanent gift of the believer. We don't need a comedian to laugh. We don't. We don't need a joke. No. Because it filled our mouth with laughter. Joy is the fruit of our spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, such things happen. Like I said, who is the person that sees things like this strange? The unsaved or the untaught? Anybody like that here? Okay, so, we're there in one accord. Are you sure we're in one accord? Anybody who is unsaved? Untaught. So, you must not do so as well. You have said you are not unsaved. And you are not idiotic. You are not unlearned. Which means that whatever we do, you will do too. Again, anybody who is unsaved, untaught, anybody who thinks that laughing like we did just now and rejoicing is crazy, I think so. Because it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there are some wild things in the spirit. One of the things also in rejoicing is that there's a run. Let me use you again. Go from there and just run. Nothing is chasing you. Look. That. Come again. You are jogging, actually. Hallelujah. You know, you can run that way. Amen. Sometimes like that. How do you feel like that? You just finish praying. I just sense to run. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Ghost. Now, most of us, we killed it because we did not know. Ah, what is this? What kind of spirit is this? Ah, I just prayed and then I'm having a laughter. Just like singing in the spirit. Many of us would have gotten in on time. But rather, we're whistling. No song in particular. That was the Holy Ghost seeking expression. But now, you're going, oh, don't say, ba, 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 go, la, ba, don't say, cara, go. What are you singing? The lines are falling out of me in the pleasant places. There's direction in the things that I do. Nothing is hidden from my mind. I have it so clear. I have it so clear. The pain is no more. The sickness is no more. Again, a new I'm pounding on the rock. I cannot be moved. Every need shall be supplied. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Every need shall be supplied. If it's a need of a person to say it, to write it, to call, that need shall be supplied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have a singing spirit. You have a singing spirit. You have a rejoicing spirit. You have a laughing spirit. You have a praying spirit. You have a Holy Spirit. Woo! Hallelujah. So sit down, we'll just stand close. Amen. So in a Holy Ghost meeting, right, we give room to utterances. And those utterances include singing. They include singing. We also rejoice, do we? We laugh. Amen. We speak. We also receive. You know, we can receive healing too. Healing. Praise God. Healing. And sometimes it can be somehow. I remember one day like that. I mean, let me give you different instances. There'll be some times that there'll be a call. I'll talk about this more next week because I want to deal with the spectacular next week. Amen. You minister, you see someone being ministered to or a call, maybe being ministered to on healing. I'm just adding this. I don't know why I'm doing this now. Wasn't planning to. And then it appears like sometimes those things can be contagious. And there'll be somebody else who is not close by. And that healing power is also for the person. Look at that Luke 5. Those guys were outside. When Luke said the power of the Lord was present to heal, they were outside. They now came in. There are some times that maybe the person is not even present. And we'll get him in. Or get it to the person. I mean, look at why handkerchiefs and aprons will be taken for the bodies of Paul, taken to the sick. That means those that were sick were not present. But the power was there. Sometimes we can be just intelligent. Remember, there are times like that I think was one of us, one of our pastors, campus pastors now. He said the case where I think something had happened to you before, 2001, I think, when she had a niece that was ill, and I prayed on the cloth. I said, there'll be somebody else, right? It was you. And then somebody else was discharged. But that wasn't the person I was praying for. Now, this particular pastor told me the same thing. That this person was in stroke, was a camp meeting in 2009. And then, you know, sent a cloth to the person. He had, you know, bedridden for months with stroke. But the interesting part was that she got healed. And the person he gave the cloth to had a disease as well and got healed. So sometimes it's what is available around. Amen. It can be that received. Hallelujah. So sometimes in the meetings, you may have a word of knowledge and the person is not there. Praise God. It doesn't mean that somebody else there whose case you did not call cannot get healed. Who's following what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's contagious. The things of the spirit are contagious. Just like the flesh is contagious. If you walk with somebody who is given to the flesh, you'll be given to the flesh. If you walk with somebody who doesn't believe in praying, you will not pray. It's a wife. But if you walk with someone who is full of the Holy Ghost, not just in church, oh, always full of the Holy Ghost. Somebody told me, he said, I stayed away from you. I said, why? He said, the longer I was around you, I just sent this sense to drop whatever I was doing and serve God. We were working together. It was the MD, I was the director in the company. He said, and I never talked about preaching, no. He said, there was just something around you that I just felt I'm not obeying God. And the guy was our friend, the Catholic Church. He said, I just stayed away from you for a while. Because it appears like just around you, I wanted to preach the gospel. So some things are like that. I will talk about that next week. Praise God. I'm going into next week a bit. There's something about that atmosphere. And I can tell you something. We can create atmospheres around us. Hallelujah. So I create Holy Ghost filled atmospheres around me. Hallelujah. 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 So in the next couple of minutes, we're going to have believers meetings. I will participate. I plug in by faith. I'm not an unbeliever. I'm not unlearned. I'll give tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Prophecy. I'll also sing to bless the church. Edify the body of Christ. The word of knowledge. The word of wisdom. The sign of spirit. The gift of healing. Workings of miracles. And the gift of faith. They find expression today. Amen. And that's how we plug in. That's just what we need. Just plug in. You know, anytime I go to preach, I just say it before I go and preach. I say, well, Father, thank you, because in this meeting, the flow of the Holy Ghost will be evident. That's all I say. And I just plug in. That's a ministry. That's just what I do. Of course, I pray though. Amen. And I've learned. But just learn to use your words right. Don't say things like, I'm tired. I want to go somewhere. When will the service be over? Those things are enough for you to be unplugged. Say the right things. Be in one accord. Say, well, I'll be full of the Holy Ghost. I'll be of a blessing in the church. I will not stay and stand by and watch. I will speak. And I will see. And I will do.